following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Doug and Daddy Show, welcome back from the Memorial Day holiday weekend, everyone. Glad to have you along with us. It feels like a Monday, so it's Doug and Jimmy with you, even though it's a Tuesday here on today's program. We've got a couple of guests. We're going to be talking about the NCAA baseball tournament with Sean Ryan of College Baseball Insider, and then we'll talk a little golf with the head coach at Grand Island Central Catholic as they get ready for the state meet. Class C for our listening area has more teams. There are a great number of individuals that will be competing. It tees up tomorrow. A and C in Lincoln, B at Riverside in Grand Island, and D is at Metalark Hills in Kearney. And we will keep you up to date on how things are going there. So those are a couple of things we'll talk about. But for you folks, anything, fire off to us. Fire us on the Twitter. Fire it to us on the Debt Popper inbox. I've been gone since Thursday. You've been gone since Friday. Anything that happened over the weekend, from baseball to basketball to hockey to the track meet to what went on with tennis or whatever, anything. What do you want us to hit on today or have a question or want us to comment on? Our Twitter address is at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550. Of course, the email has always been our Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can always Facebook us, and of course, the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. What's up, Jimmy?
Nothing. I thought one of the things was kind of interesting. I did see where your sister got fourth in the discus, correct?
Yeah, she got fourth. She was third going into finals and then finished ninth in shot put as well.
Right, good deal. So that's good. And that's Henry from Loop City. But when I watched the track meet, I was kind of keeping track of the scores because I, you know, watching it online is the last couple races, and I was watching Holdridge's girls, you know, and how that transpired. Ord had a lot to do with them winning the state championship, didn't they, Doug? You know, in that 1600-meter relay. Because I think if that goes a different direction, if Ord doesn't win that and those other two teams flip up, that might have been the difference in the track meter. Did you notice that, or is that something you didn't notice?
Just Ord is awesome. State record, one of the few state records that were broken this weekend.
Right.
But so congrats to those ladies. After tying it at districts, they broke it at state. But some very, very close races, and as you said, Class B girls was as close as it could be. 57, 56, 55, 52 were the points between the top four, and then Ord was right there with 48. Then you go to Class D with the girls. Giltner wins it by two over Axtell and Why Not, who tied for second place. So some good performances. Bearcats and Islanders weren't able to get there in A, but boys were both in the top five, and as usual, good performances. Some of the coaches, like Coach Van Cura, last time coaching down at state. So we're down to one event, and it's state golf that's going on this weekend. You know, a brief touch on Nebraska baseball. It was really kind of hit on the head by a couple of stories that I read over the weekend. Tom Chattel's been out. He's had some knee surgery, so he's back with his first column in nearly a month in today's World Herald and online. And
his point's kind of what we were saying all along. The body language just wasn't there. It was like, as he comments, you looked at them and they were trying to figure out which way they were going to lose today. You know, they found out different ways to lose every single time over the last 6 weeks of the season. And as I kind of said Thursday, with all the karma that went with Nebraska baseball last year and in the tournament, you kind of expected something kooky to happen in that Michigan State game, and it did. It looked like Nebraska was going to win, and then they just implode in the eighth inning, and Michigan State wins it. Michigan goes on, probably needed to win the tournament. That's what a couple of the experts thought, and they did win the tournament 4-3 over Maryland in the final. Illinois didn't have to. They're the sixth national seed. They can probably breathe a little easier. They had a couple extra days to rest. And when you're on a run like that, it's okay to maybe get a break. Maybe kind of wind down just a little bit, decompress.
Yeah, when you're on that roll, though, like you said, that coach said, he said, hey, I don't want to lose. I mean, the way we're riding this thing, you know, let's just keep this momentum going. So, it's kind of like you say, it's a double-edged sword on that deal. I mean, now they can kind of get back, and you know, maybe there's not as much pressure on some players. Other players maybe thrive on that. You know what I mean? So you just don't know what you're getting there. But
there are, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the only real hockey that I watch professional is when it comes playoff time, and that's because it's, I guess, more readily available to watch. And crazy, crazy finish last night in the Western Conference Final with it looked like it was all over. You're down to 2 minutes to go. Anaheim's up 4-2 on home ice. Chicago pulls their goalie. Bang, they get a goal. And then, bang, I thought it was a replay. But no, the same guy scored again. And they tie this thing up to send it into overtime. And Anaheim said, that's okay. 45 seconds into overtime, we'll win it. And just yank all the fun that you had in the last 2 minutes of regulation. So hockey is down to game sixes. Game sevens are possibilities here as Anaheim's up 3-2 on Chicago. Tampa Bay's up 3-2 on the New York Rangers. All those Tri-City Storm folks that picked the Rangers in their little unofficial pool, they're probably getting nervous. Can the Rangers win on the road and then get it back to Madison Square? Game seven at Madison Square Garden, Jimmy, can you imagine? Doesn't matter if it's basketball or hockey. They blow that totally out of proportion because it's Madison Square Garden, but that's cool. Anytime you can have a game seven there, because God knows the Knicks aren't going to have one there for a while.
It's going to be a while for them to get a game seven. Yeah. You know, I'm sure they'll be there, you know, but they're just that game seven so hard to get.
The Royals cooled down after taking the series from the Cardinals. They got Waka, pitched them really good, and then you could – it's a couple times this season we already talked about it. I mean, they finish off a big series with the Cardinals, get on the plane, have to play the early game with the Yankees. The Yankees had lost 10 of 11. If you were in Vegas, we'd have made money. You knew what was going to happen. Didn't think it'd be 14-1, but the teams play again tonight and 6:05 on the Breeze. So yeah, Royals still playing well. For a moment there, had the best record in all of baseball.
Yeah, the Royals had a streak there where they won the first game of series, you know, the very first game they won the game one of series, and it was like the whole stretch of the season. And then they played an extra inning game and beat Detroit late on a Sunday night. I think it was the Sunday night baseball game, and won very late and had to go to Texas. And then got thumped by Texas the next, you know, we'll call it the next morning. But
yeah, that was the other time. Yeah, that's exactly right. We've got the NBA playoffs. Boring. I don't know. Are they boring or are they exciting because we've seen some close games? We've seen some absolute blowouts.
Well, there was a couple games that weren't boring. I'll guarantee you that. You know, there's been some blowouts, but, you know, the Rockets needed to win. You know, and I think somebody had a pretty good game if you've watched it at all.
Do you think Cleveland can keep up with the scoring of either Golden State or Houston when it gets to the finals?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I was kind of glad Houston won a game, you know, but I actually thought that other side was very strong. I thought that I actually thought the Clippers were the best team, but they did not beat Houston. And so with this side of the bracket, I just think they're the best. I don't think anybody's going to be able to beat Golden State, to be honest with you, right now.
Well, we'll see how she all plays out tonight. It's game four. Cleveland tries to sweep out Atlanta. Tip-off is at 7:30, and you'll be able to hear it right here on ESPN Radio. Again, tip time tonight is at 7:30, and then, again, they'll go tomorrow night with a game five between Golden State and Houston as national sports syndicates trying to figure out a way that Houston can win and then get back to Houston, and maybe they could win game six. Shut up.
Well, Stephon Curry hurt his head. I mean, I don't know if you saw that play, if either one of you saw that, but he hit. And I don't know. I mean, I was surprised he came back in. I was surprised in that situation that they even played him, to be honest with you. I thought I'd just said, hey, you guys are going to go in game four. We'll sit you down here because you're pretty valuable to our squad.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts? Did you think he was hit pretty good or not? Did you watch the replay or not? Not really?
Okay. You ever? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. What my opinion is on some of this is probably not popular, so I probably won't go there. But everybody's fallen down. I mean, we're at the point now, I guess, where you have to take them all in. So you just will lay there and roll around like you busted your skull open and go in and get the concussion test. So he didn't have a concussion, apparently. But he's going to be a player that wants to come back in. We'll see. Yeah, it's a hustle play. It's a hustle play. Falling like that's never fun. I mean, heck, I'm sure you've taken a spill like that. I've taken a spill like that in competition. It's just, it happens. And in this day and age, it just gets really looked at with that fine tooth comb.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Now, I understand what you're saying now. You're talking about that if you hit your head ever, they really overexert it. I guess my point was whether it was a knee, an ankle, or ahead, if we're up three games to none, mm-hmm. and yeah, I'm not going to risk, you know, something that might happen to you if you're not 100%. That was my point. You know,
yeah.
Guess San Antonio's done that for years. You know, they go, hey, you know, we're down 12. Guess what? We're all got 60-minute rest right here. You know, so.
Well, we'll see. It falls into that soccer mentality, and it's went into the basketball, both college and NBA, where you hit the ground and then you play it up like you've been shot, and I just get sick of it. And I'm not saying that that's what happened with Stephon Curry because that was legit, but, you know. Every time somebody falls down, it's like they got shot and you need to take them to the hospital. And then 30 seconds later, they're back out there. But that was not the case with this yesterday. 888-455-3776 if you'd like to be a part of the Doug and Daddy show today. UNK Hastings College, we were talking about last week. It's really the end of the year. Nebraska is getting ready for the outdoor national track meets a couple of weeks left there. But UNK and Hastings College wrapped theirs up and there again, Jennifer Mag. I mean, this is a special athlete at Hastings College. We've talked about her in the past. She won another national title. This in the shot put. She's All-American in the disc or hammer. She finishes fifth in the hammer. Lauren Shoemaker, third in the 10,000. The Broncos were 14th as a team with the handful of athletes that they took. But Mag has won five national championships now in her career at Hastings College. So congratulations there. Marissa Bongers couldn't quite get it done in the 800, but Brady Land over the weekend did finish sixth in the long jump, so that's All-American honors. And Cole Manhart, this Kenby Jones, I'm trying to think of what to compare it to. A lot of conferences have their, you know, this goes to the best athlete, student athlete, and that's what this Kenby Jones award is. They don't really, in all of the press releases over the last 4 years, have a great explanation of it. I mean, he was the first true commissioner of the league, and they judge him on athletic accomplishments both this year and for their career, community and campus service, and all those achievements. So, I mean, it's the best of the best award, and Cole Manhart is one of the three male finalists. Three female finalists, six total, will be invited to Kansas City. Cole will probably be a little busy with the Eagles, but they will announce that coming up on June the 3rd, a Wednesday evening in Kansas City. So congratulations there. And Tri-City Storm goaltender Alec Dillon named the USHL All-Rookie First Team. He led all goalies with a goal against average of just 2.27 during the past season. He's expected to play his Division I college hockey for RPI in Troy, New York. Remember, RPI is the team that lost to UNO in the quarterfinals of this year's national tournament. So congratulations there to Alec. Anything else over the weekend? Well, we've kind of touched quickly on a whole bunch of things, Jimmy. Getting closer to the Belmont. as we see that they're going to make a big deal out of that. One other thing I did kind of notice, the U.S. Open golf, you qualify, as you know, for all the folks that watch Tin Cup. They probably didn't know that it was possible that way, but true golf fans know that's the deal. Well, I don't know. I didn't even count it up, but a ton of guys were competing in the qualifier last Thursday at the Omaha Country Club and a handful from here. But Scott Kucheski, who's sitting in the top 10 after he qualified 2 weeks ago at the Wells Fargo, going into the weekend, he's sitting in the top 15, then sputtered a little bit. He's at this qualifier, shoots two under. They took five, and Riley Reinertsen also made it in, and he had a couple of double bogeys on his round, got a key birdie late. He finished with a 72, but the best rounds went to Scott Kucheski and a guy from Birmingham, Alabama, named Smiley Kaufman. Smiley Kaufman, yep.
I think there were 47 or 48 golfers in that. Does it say in that list or not?
Way more.
Way more than for that?
That's just the first page.
Wow.
Yeah. So unless my numbers are off, I mean.
Maybe it was 53. But anyway, I guess, you know, all I'm saying is they took only the top five, and then they have to go again. I mean, you know, usually, they have to go and play again.
And usually there's so few. I mean, it's like in that 40 range that usually it's one or two that get to go out. So, you know, it was a good field with five there. Brandon Crick and John Peterson are the alternates. If one of these five has something happen that they can't go, of course, Brandon Crick has been on the mini tours out of McCook. John Peterson, the former golf pro at the Kearney Country Club, now down in Omaha. And you've got Carson Shockey, the young man that we talked to that won the Big Ten championship. He missed out by a couple of shots. So some of them were right there, but you really can't shoot over par. I mean, it's surprising that any of these guys.
Amazing. Know. Yeah. I mean, the three of us could go out and do a scrambler and wouldn't be able to compete with that group.
No.
Unless you two guys are a lot better than I thought, because there's no way I could do it. Yeah,
no chance, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Us three, no chance to shoot par at the OCC.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
No way. Mm-hmm. Ain't happening.
No.
Unless they, you know.
Can you buy mulligans?
Yeah.
Can we buy? Hey, we need to buy a mulligan right now. We're on the third hole. We're out of mulligans.
Well, let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question for today. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Know a lot of folks that took advantage of them over this Memorial Day weekend. We asked you about Janet Guthrie becoming the first woman to qualify for the Indy 500. Our question over the weekend with the Indy 500 that Juan Pablo Montoya won. How likely are we to see more women in auto racing events in the near future? Heard your conversation, a little bit of it. This was a split vote. Not very likely, 56%. Very likely, 44%. You're right. It's just not a sport that a lot of females are competing in. But I think in the future, if Danica could have a little more success, you had some of these females, you just don't hear it as much now on the open wheel circuit. So that was our vote over the weekend. Today, which Big Ten team not hosting a regional? There's four of them. Illinois has the best chance to make the College World Series. That's an interesting question there, young Caleb. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Indiana, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan. Iowa is a two seed. The other three are three seeds, if that makes really any difference, because the twos play the threes. I think I'm just scanning here. Maryland is in with the number one national seed, UCLA, and then Ole Miss and Bakersfield. So I would say they have the least chance of getting there. Michigan is in with Louisville, Morehead State, and Bradley. I would put them third. I'd say it's between Iowa and Indiana. And anytime you see a lesser-known conference like Missouri State, another interesting point, Creighton now in the Big East, three schools from the Missouri Valley are in, including a number one seeds with Missouri State there. And then you have Indiana with Radford, Lipscomb, and Vanderbilt. My vote is Indiana. My vote is Indiana. They just seem to have it figured out after a slower start to the season. I'm going to go with Indiana has the best chance to make it to the College World Series out of those four. You got a guess?
Iowa. Yeah. When I look at it, I'm just going to go with Iowa right off the start. They got to beat if they can beat Oregon that first round. I think they'll have a shot at it. Missouri State just doesn't sound like a team that's going to be in the NCAA. You know, they just don't sound like, you know. They're 45-10, though, so they've beaten some people.
Well, vote now on our Midtown Art Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll see what Sean Ryan thinks about the Big Ten and the tournament as a whole. He'll join us from College Baseball Insider next.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just have made happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see lingering cloud cover and some breaks of sunshine today with an isolated shower possible early. With a high in the lower 70s, winds will stay in the northwest 5 to 15. Tonight will fall to 54. I'm Paul Trombley.
Right now it's 61.
Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Tuesday program. It'll be lunchtime soon, and don't forget the chicken coop is there for you. Maybe you've had too many of those homemade meals over the weekend, gosh darn it, or you just had too many burgers and brats, or you just had leftovers, or whatever. Just sit back and enjoy, kind of recap the weekend maybe with your coworkers or your friends today at the Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Now, their Tuesday lunch specials, $1 off any salad on the menu, whether it's taco salad or the crispy chicken salad or whatever it is you want. Of course, I guess it's May, so every salad's $5.55, so it's even better than $1 off the $5.55 any day throughout the month of May over at the Chicken Coop. And enjoy watching your favorite activities, whether it's Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NBA, or now, of course, college baseball all over the place. The Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, downtown Kearney. Well, we are pleased to catch up with our friends from College Baseball Insider again here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Sean Ryan joins us this morning. Doug Duda and Jim Langan. Sean, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How's everything out there?
Well, we're getting closer to Omaha, so you know it's great. You know it's great. Closer to home, Creighton and Nebraska weren't able to get the job done, and I want to start there with Creighton because an interesting note today from Tom Chattel in the Omaha World Herald, the old Missouri Valley Conference, where Creighton was very well represented, but the Big East, St. John's, a number four seed, and you just don't see number four seeds out of conferences that you've heard of.
Yeah, I mean, I think I haven't seen the piece by Tom. I love his work, and I try to read it as much as I can. But the drop in play, I mean, I think Creighton and St. John's were the class of the East this year. And it's just not a deep conference right now. And it's really challenging for those teams to go out and find enough good quality opponents to really boost their RPI. In Missouri Valley this year, you had a lot of high RPI teams. And if you got out and traveled a little bit, you could play some other high-quality teams. So it's a little bit easier for Dallas Baptist to go out and play a TCU or go play a Texas on occasion or somebody like that. But I think Tom's right in that you looked around, it's probably a little tough to see that the Missouri Valley had such a great day yesterday.
St. John's, they just need to play Stony Brook, I guess, a little bit more. At least that's somebody in their backyard. Stony Brook's in again this year in the TCU regional. What are the national thoughts on what's going on in Lincoln? There's a couple rumbles, and I think they're idiots. I think Darren Erstad is Darren Erstad. You can't go wrong with him right now. But Nebraska had built themselves up after getting back on the scene last year. Everybody kind of anticipating a pretty good run from the Huskers, preseason second in the Big Ten poll, but it just didn't happen for Big Red. Is there any kind of a national perspective on what's going on with Nebraska baseball?
Well, I'll give my national perspective in that I love what's happening out there, and I think that the moves that are being made and the progress in the program is really strong. I think the biggest thing that I think people have to remember out there is that the Big Ten throughout the conference is spending more money on baseball. They're paying their coaches a lot of money. The Big Ten has identified, like the SEC and the ACC before, that we can make some money on the sport, or we can get some awareness about our universities through the sport. And so everywhere you look in the Big Ten, you know, 10 years ago, Nebraska would have had the best ballpark by a long shot. Nowadays, there's three or four really solid ballparks that shows the investment that these programs are putting into it. So I think that it's not a completely, you know, letting them off the hook because they didn't get it done. I think Nebraska had the talent to be in the top three or four throughout the year. And again, it just didn't happen, but it happens in a year like this when the league is very deep and you see a team like Michigan that had been very strong all year, but not really considered to be able to make a run in that tournament. And there they went, and they won the whole thing.
Do you think Nebraska's pitching, I guess, you know, when I look at our number one pitcher, he's a great pitcher, a good guy, maybe playing in the major leagues. But when I look at him compared to some of the other number one pitchers, kind of like in the NFL when you look at quarterbacks and you go, man, that guy's a quarterback, this guy's a quarterback. But somebody else has got to be the 20th best quarterback, and maybe he's a tremendous athlete. But when I look at Nebraska's pitching, their number one starter didn't seem to finish well. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think a couple things first in that I think you're right. When you have a number one, and you're looking at the rest of the conference, everybody's got a number one, everybody's got a number two, and then you look at the pitching depth and the pitching quality. Overall, the ERA was not that bad, just above a three. But I think that when you're up against Maryland's ace, for instance, your margin for error, you know, is very small. When you're up against Indiana's ace, your margin for error is very small. What I noticed out of Nebraska's starters this year is you didn't have that one guy who could go out there and limit opponents to a 225 average, who was striking out, you know, a batter an inning. When Nebraska has really thrived in the past, they've always had one or two guys who've been out there who've been able to kind of dominate, and you knew you were going to get three runs or less, and you knew you were going to get 7 to 10 strikeouts a game. And you didn't have that this year with really any of the starters. So, you know, when you look around and see your main three guys, all of the batting averages are around 270, 275, 280. Again, those aren't those shutdown guys. And when you're playing in a deep league like the Big Ten was this year, you're going to run into a buzzsaw occasionally, and you're going to face Maryland's ace, or you're going to face, you know, Illinois in their depth of pitching. Just amazing what, you know, the Illini had on the hill this year.
Sean Ryan, College Baseball Insider, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can check it out. It is collegebaseballinsider.com to check out all the great articles and news stories. Michigan winning the Big Ten, Texas winning the Big 12. Maybe you have another team out there or two by winning their conference, probably kept somebody home. Who'd they keep home, Sean?
Yeah, those were the two big ones, I think, because neither Texas nor Michigan would have made the tournament. And, you know, really, they didn't take a bit away from their own conference that way necessarily. So they didn't really replace anybody. You can make a case maybe for Michigan State with Michigan winning. But I think the couple teams that probably had the biggest beefs, North Carolina didn't make it. It's every once in a while you see a high RPI team not make it. Auburn a couple years ago. I think it happened to Georgia Tech one year, but and Georgia Tech had another high RPI. But North Carolina with an RPI of 28 didn't get in. Clemson with an RPI of 52 did get in, or 54 did get in. And, that was a little bit surprising to me. I thought they would go with the higher RPI. Usually the RPI wins out. That didn't happen. University of North Florida had won 45 games. I think they were hurt by the fact that they went 19-0 against RPI 200 or lower, but they were a regular season champ. They fell in their conference final. They had a better RPI than, say, Oregon at 62. So, again, I think there were some things within the committee there that didn't make a whole lot of sense. They favored RPI for somebody like Radley out of the Missouri Valley, which we just talked about, but then they didn't really care about the RPI when it came time for UNF or even Michigan State. Michigan State, the reason I said they might have a beef was they swept Oregon at Oregon, and they also beat Clemson, two teams that got in, were the last two teams in by the NCAA selection committee. So those are probably the three or four that might have the biggest beef.
Yeah, when you look at it and you see like some four seeds that you're thinking that maybe, hey, these people have a shot to win it. Do you see anybody that's a four seed that you go, boy, they're a dangerous four?
Yeah, I think San Diego State would jump out a little bit because they've played a lot of top 100 competition. I believe they have 15 wins out of the top 100, so they've been facing good competition all year. Their problem, they're probably going to be up against Dylan Tate, who could go in the top two or three picks of the Major League draft from UC Santa Barbara. So if they could somehow get through that one game, then possibly them. And I'll mention another one that's kind of off the radar a little bit, Morehead State. They play in a very small ballpark, but they are one of the best offenses in the country, partially because of that small ballpark. They've got Louisville, which I think is a very tough draw for them, but Morehead State went out to San Diego the opening week of the year and took 3 out of 4 from San Diego, which at the time was thought to be a very, very strong program this year. And they ended up not making the tournament this year, but that opened some eyes of a lot of people that Morehead State could come out there and play.
Sean Ryan, College Baseball Insider, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The road to Omaha begins this weekend. The College World Series begins at TD Ameritrade on June the 13th. Sean, there is always that sweetheart team, that lovable team that makes it to Omaha. It's even a little bit different than sometimes the Elite Eight of the basketball tournament. But Houston's a number one seed. Missouri State's a number one seed. You mentioned Dallas Baptist, UC Santa Barbara. Who could be the sweetheart of this year's College World Series?
Well, Missouri State's made it out there before, and sometimes Omaha folks will latch on to a team that's made it before. Illinois, I think, would be another one to kind of take a look at, not to keep going back to that Big Ten, but they could be one to kind of keep an eye on. I think that outside of the number ones, I mean, I'm intrigued by a lot of teams to see if they can get back out there. Another Big Ten, Maryland, made the Super Regionals last year. I don't know that they can get out of that UCLA Regional, but they might be one to watch. And then Charleston is another one to watch, who made Super Regionals last year and gave it Texas Tech. I mean, gave them every bit they had and lost 2 one-run games. Again, a very tough draw to get out of the Florida State Regional, but nobody gave Charleston a chance last year either to get out of Florida's Regional, and they ended up making it all the way to Super Regionals. So those would be a couple I would keep an eye on, but as you guys know, the number one seeds, a lot of them end up making it through to Super Regionals most years, and this year could be one of those years to keep an eye on those teams like Missouri State and Illinois.
Sean, it's our poll question today. Outside of Illinois, which one of these Big Ten teams has the chance to go the farthest here? And you've talked about everybody, maybe not a lot about Iowa here in Indiana. Indiana's in with the defending national champs. Sometimes that's a good thing. It's hard to get it going 2 years in a row. Just a quick thought on Indiana and Iowa.
Yeah, I think Indiana it was tough because we didn't know exactly where they would go. I thought they might be a number two seed at Louisville, which I kind of liked that draw a little bit better than going down to Vanderbilt. And partially because we're familiar with Radford. Our website is based in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Radford is in Southwest Virginia, and they have been on such a roll. They're 34-4 in their last 38 games. And not only was Indiana a three seed, they drew a very difficult two seed. And that's going to be a challenge for them, plus all the pitching that Vanderbilt has. That said, I think that they're playing great baseball. And it's a team that is experienced, even with a new coach. It's a team that's got plenty of experience. They've been there and done that. And then as far as Iowa goes, I mean, what can you say about Rick Heller? I think he's going to get a lot of push for, you know, National Coach of the Year. Whether he gets any from any of the folks that put it out, I think he'll get at least mentioned by what he's done as quickly as he's done it out at Iowa. You know, what can you say? They've got a great opportunity. They did make it into a national seed, but it's Missouri State, so it's not like you're going to have to beat Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. They also drew Oregon, which Oregon doesn't swing the bats that particularly well. They did take 2 out of 3 from UCLA the final week of the year, which is probably what got the Ducks into the tournament. They're a very strong team, a very potent team, but they don't swing the bat particularly well. So Iowa's recipe all year of, you know, pitching and defense and timely hitting, that bodes well. I can see Iowa sneaking through that regional.
You know, when I looked at the NCAA tournament this year, when I looked at it, it seemed to me that they really worked hard on making sure that all areas are going to be represented, because they stuck all of the Texas teams in two areas and all of the Florida teams, you know, almost in an area. So they want to make sure that, like, Florida State and Florida both aren't going to be in Omaha. You know, they mean, they've got to play each other. And everybody in between there from Florida in that area. What were your thoughts on that?
I think they had a big challenge, to be honest, because of the way things shook out with the seeds across the country. You know, this has been I'm still waiting for somebody to dig up the stat, because a lot of us have been thinking about this. There are no hosts in Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, or Georgia. That's almost unheard of, because you'll have a Georgia Tech host, or you'll have South Carolina or Clemson host, or you'll have North Carolina or NC State host, or the last 5 years you have the University of Virginia. So in addition to having some different teams hosting, like in Illinois, like UCSB, like a Missouri State, Houston, even TCU hasn't hosted a ton. You also have the geographic problem of who do you match up against each other. So I think your point is a good one. They put the two Florida teams together, which you almost have to, because you also had Miami as a national seed. Either Miami was going to play Florida State or Florida was going to play Florida State in Super Regionals. And then they did the same thing with Texas, because, again, you had a couple teams who were going to be in the mix there, the Texas A&M, TCU and Dallas Baptist as hosts. You almost had to put them against each other. The rest of it I liked, because you very easily could have put UCLA with Cal State Fullerton. Again, we've seen that a lot. You could have put Louisville with Vanderbilt. Again, we've seen that. I thought they did a nice job of splitting it up to almost ensure that different regions of the country would have a better shot at making it to Omaha.
Last minute here with Sean Ryan from College Baseball Insider. And without South Carolina having a chance to come to Omaha, the most popular hat probably won't sell quite as well this year at the College World Series. But, Sean, there are always interesting stories. LSU had been sitting at the top when we look at big picture for so long this season. Then UCLA ends up getting by them here and being the number one national seed. Who do you think going into the tournament is the best team in college baseball?
I would say LSU. I think that it doesn't really matter if you're one or two in the national seeding there. I think actually might be a benefit to be number two. Number one comes with the added pressure mm-hmm. of being number one overall seed. But I think I'd lean slightly on LSU, but, man, UCLA, they've got the best pitching in the country. And what they did a couple of years ago in winning in Omaha, playing small ball, getting some timely hits, really just not making any mistakes, they now can afford to make some mistakes. They have an offense that can back up the great pitching. I don't know that it's an offense that is as strong as maybe, say, an LSU or a Florida, which can just flat out hit top to bottom, but they have more punch in the order. I would probably say LSU is a little bit more well-rounded with a little bit better offense mixed in there, but I think those are two of the top teams to be watching. I do like Florida's offense, and I do like TCU. Again, even though TCU struggled in their conference tournament, but you know, that left side of the bracket there in terms of the national number one seeds, the national seeds rather, it's really hard to look at them and say who's not going to be there. They did a really nice job of picking those top eight. You're going to have to do some great work to get through any of those teams on their home field.
Well, there's, I mean, that regional that you talked about with San Diego State being the four when Jimmy was talking about earlier, Virginia against USC, the other side of that, man, that looks like that could be maybe the most entertaining regional. You've covered so many teams, Sean. Is there a team that you like a little bit better than maybe the national pundits do?
I would say one that jumps out, and I don't know that I like them any more than anybody else. I haven't picked the whole bracket yet. I do like TCU quite a bit. I think they're playing great baseball, even though they struggled in that tournament and didn't play particularly well. You know, a lot of folks at this time of year ask, is this year Mike Martin's finally going to win it from Florida State? They've got another good team. They're number one seed again, I think, like you mentioned, the UCSB regional. And I think that FSU regional with Auburn, Mercer, and Charleston in there has a real chance to be a lot of fun, in addition to that Vanderbilt regional. But as far as the teams maybe to kind of keep an eye on, maybe I like a little bit maybe more than others. TCU would be one of them. I really like what they're doing. And as far as the two seeds, again, I'm really high on Charleston. Charleston lost its number one pitcher early on the year to Tommy John surgery, and they didn't skip a beat. That's a really talented team that, again, made Super Regionals last year. And you look for those teams that have some experience who aren't going to be scared or intimidated by playing in big facilities like that. And Charleston would be one of those teams as well.
And last question, Sean, former Indiana coach Tracy Smith at Arizona State raised some eyebrows when he said, send us wherever you want because we're winning the darn thing. And then they get Clemson, who might have been the last team in the first round, Cal State Fullerton Pepperdine. Will Arizona State have a chance to maybe make it to Omaha?
Sometimes you have to be careful for what you wish for, I guess. But the great part is, as if you guys have ever spoken with Tracy, he is just, he's a free spirit. He's very confident in his group. He's a lot of fun. He's a coach who kind of wears it on his sleeve sometimes, but he's a lot of fun. I think when he makes a statement like that, it's more to get his guys excited and less about what anybody else is going to think. He's one of those guys who just is very positive and not in a negative way towards other folks. So that said, they're going to face a good lefty, Matthew Crownover from Clemson, and then Fullerton has two really good arms. So if they can sneak out of that regional, they're going to have to really do a good job against some really good pitching. And that doesn't even include Pepperdine, who's another strong number four in there. And their reward could be going to Louisville. If they can make it, they would get to Louisville. And that's a program that has just been doing wonders the past few years and has become almost a mainstay in Omaha. So if you look at a path, I don't know that they could have gotten a much more difficult path. So his confidence in that statement, they may need that.
All right, Sean Ryan, College Baseball Insider, giving us a big-time preview here of the road to Omaha. And, Sean, really appreciate the time. Hopefully we can do it again real soon as we get closer to the College World Series.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you, Doug. I really appreciate your time. Really appreciate talking to you guys, and thanks for having me today.
You bet. Love talking baseball on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean Ryan, College Baseball Insider, and it's kind of unique. It always helps the radio program when a Nebraska or a Creighton are in, because I'm looking back, you know, who have we talked to, who are some of the interesting guests, and, you know, well, Nebraska's not in a regional. We can't run down their opponents. We can run down some of the other folks, and we will as we get closer to Omaha as well. But, Jimmy, anything? I mean, you don't get an opportunity to watch a lot of college baseball. It is cool that it is on once in a while, and I suppose if you watch the SEC Network or the Longhorn Network, you can see a little bit more of it. But I really there's a couple teams I've at least had a chance to watch. I really like LSU. I know they're the number two seed, but and there's a couple of the teams, Missouri State and Dallas Baptist, that are almost expected to win some baseball games here in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, that LSU's a two seed and TCU's a seven. So, you know, they're going to meet before they get to Omaha. And I think those...
they'd meet in Omaha. They would meet in Omaha.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Thank you. Yeah, they would meet in Omaha, and that would be, to me, those are the two I look at. I think Vanderbilt might come out of that. They're an 11 seed, and I think they might come out of that thing pretty sweet. I mean, you know, they're a number one seed, but they're 11 overall because they got Lipscomb, Indiana, and Radford. And I just think that might be the weakest group when I just look at them as far as the people that I would want to play. Now, Indiana, you know, is a three seed, you know, but they lost a lot of players off last year's team.
So I think, coach.
Yeah. And I just like Vanderbilt as an 11 seed. When I look at that, I'm like, boy, did they get the best, you know, of the four teams they could play being an 11. Usually somebody else's, you could have three really good teams in there. And I just don't see that. If somebody else comes out of that thing, I'll be surprised to see them going to Omaha. Let's just put it that way.
A couple other notes. All the number one seeds are hosting. Sometimes that falls through the crack. You got to put a bid in. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And it seems like this year, of those four seeds, there's a lot of them that don't belong. Some of them play in the lesser conferences, but I mean Lehigh's 25 and 29. They're a four seed. You had a four seed in Sacred Heart getting in 23 and 30 on the season as a four seed. And then you look at the other side, you know, he mentioned Morehead State, Sean did. They're 38 and 20, and they're a four seed. Florida A&M's 23 and 23. 29 and 29 for Florida International. So usually these four seeds, they're just from the weaker conferences and have better records, but there's four or five of them there. You got to think that, boy, if you're the number one seed, you drew out pretty well. We're going to take a break here. Craig Roop is going to join us to talk a little golf. Grand Island Central Catholic's been very good, and we'll see how good they can do the next couple of days in the Class C meet after this.
What are your plans this summer? A family vacation? Sunny days by the pool? A nice, cool home after all that outdoor fun? Then have your cooling system checked by the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating. Our technicians will make sure it's ready for all those hot summer days. So schedule a checkup today with the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating at 308-236-6437 or in Holdridge at 995-4481.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Are the old prescriptions piling up? Is unused or expired medicine filling your cabinet? Leaving old medicine around can lead to accidental poisoning or illegal use by others, but you shouldn't just toss or flush it. Take your old or unwanted medicine to one of the following pharmacies for proper disposal: Hy-Vee, Medicap Pharmacy, ABC Drugs, Valley Pharmacy, and Spanda Health Mart in Ravenna. Visit NebraskaMeds.org to view the growing list of pharmacies that will properly dispose of your old or expired medications. This message was brought to you by Positive Pressure and Buffalo County Community Partners.
Back in time, a caveman, his name was Ugg, got tired of gathering nuts and berries, decided that meat was a neat treat.
Mine too.
Ugg was the first human carnivore. Ugg inspired others to try meat. They liked it too. Ugg now serves as the spokes caveman for Carnivore's Meat Supply. Dozens of cuts of fresh beef, pork, chicken, and fish. Early carnivores used to have to knock on cave doors to find meat. All you need to do is head to Carnivore's Meat Supply, west off 281 on Old Potash Highway.
Burger King is a proud supporter of the area high school class of 2015 and would like to wish them all the best in their future. What a great accomplishment. Congratulations from all of us at Burger King. Citizens Bank of Loup City is your hometown bank and would like to take the time to wish the class of 2015 a great congratulations on your milestone and here's to the brighter future. Craig Weegis is your Pioneer Seed dealer and is very proud to support the area 2015 graduates this year. Best of luck in your bright future.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience, and they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac and the new used car superstore, all located on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. The Midway Auto Group is continuing to grow and expand, and that means they are looking for quality employees in all lines of work, whether you're selling cars, working on cars, greeting people, or doing some of the work behind the scenes. They have room for you, and you can check out all the openings online, a special website at MidwayCareers.com, MidwayCareers.com. You'll be joining an organization that's been with us for over 95 years and includes all of the great franchises that we told you about. You can see what's up. You can see all the great benefits that come along with being with the Midway Group, and then you can talk to them face-to-face. Go to MidwayCareers.com for more information. Well, they tee it up for state golf tomorrow. It looks like we might squeeze in a couple of nice days for the kids to hit the golf course in Class C. We'll be at Holmes and Lincoln, and we welcome in the head coach at Grand Island Central Catholic, Craig Roop, to give us a few minutes here and talk about his Crusaders. And, Craig, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, it's great to catch up with you, and an exciting time of the season. I enjoyed one of your quotes here in the postseason after districts, of course, battling there with my alma mater and putting up two of the best scores in districts of all of Class C. You don't have to win. It's not like basketball. You didn't have to win districts to get a wild card to go in here. I mean, you just had to qualify. Now the two most important days are coming up.
Yeah, we just had to qualify, but, you know, going into districts, we really wanted to win on our home course. So, so we could walk away with the district championship. But, you know, on the other side of it, we do get a go. We lost to a good team. We played all right. We gave a few strokes away towards a very good team. But our goal was to win districts, and then our goal was to go to state. So one out of two ain't bad. So the kids were a little disappointed after that day. But then they kind of realized, hey, we're going to state. So it's a whole new day.
Do you feel that the team has been very steady all season long, or they have had a little more peak and valley than you would have wanted?
You know, I think they've been pretty steady. I talk to a lot of coaches around, and I see a lot of what teams do. They do playoffs for their top five. I didn't mess with my five all year. I kind of knew this was what it was going to be, and I let them go. They've maintained what I thought they could do. My number four and my number five players are really playing a lot better now than they did at the beginning of the year, and they are peaking at a good time. So I'm pleased with where they're at. I still think we still haven't shot our round that we want to shoot. It's just been that when one guy's down, the other guy picks him up. So I've been really pleased with that. But I'm hoping our next two rounds are our good rounds.
Yeah, Craig, it's important to have that four and five guy both have a chance to make a good score because you don't know which one you're going to use, you know, each day with the two-day tournament. Tell us who your five golfers are, Craig.
Our five golfers are is Tucker Kritzky. He is a sophomore. Eshawn Sood, who is a junior. I have Colin Toner, who is a sophomore. Casey Brown, who is a senior. And then my number five guy is Gavin Fox. He's a freshman. So, he's the one that I put in there at the beginning of the year. I thought he could do what he could do, and he finally realized about the fourth meet that he could play with these guys. He was I think he was a little intimidated. He was a little shy. He was a little scared. But then he finally shot a couple rounds and said, "Hey, you know what? I can compete. I can play with these guys." And ever since then, he's just been playing very well, very steady for us, and it's good to see the kid smile. And he's a good kid.
Craig Roop, the head golf coach, Grand Island Central Catholic, joining us here. That's pretty diverse. It doesn't matter if you're Class A or Class D. I mean, you've got a fresh, like you said, somebody from every class. So they may not hang around when it's not golf season. How is the chemistry?
the chemistry on our team is very, very well. They get along really well. They challenge each other's in practice. We do. They always want to challenge each other for some kind of a game. I just like the way they've gelled, and that's why I'm one of those coaches that, don't go on the course and see how they're doing. I just kind of yell across the course. They know when I do a little yell. They look at me. They give me thumbs up, and that's it. If they got something going, I'm not going to mess with them. I'll get them at nine, after the nine, and then if they if they need some advice from me, I'll give it to them. But I'm one that lets them go, and if they're going to make a mistake, they're going to they're going to learn how they what they did, and they're going to have to correct it themselves. But also on the other hand, I'm going to try to give the best advice I can, and to do so they don't make that mistake better. With these kids, it's all about mental at this age. They just gotta think they have one bad hole and they're done. And what I'm trying to do is just try not to make it all up on the next hole. They got they got 14 more holes they got to play. They can get it back, and it's just the mental part of the game for all the kids.
Will you take the same, because that was my next question, how do you coach five individuals when they're at different spots on the course? Is that the same approach you'll take the next 2 days?
You know, I've been thinking about that. This is my fourth year down here at State. I've had three individuals the last 3 years. I had Kyle Simons, he's pitching now for Texas A&M, and then I've had Eshawn for the last 2 years. So I've had, when the individuals, I did walk all 18 with them. Now I have to look at my approach of how I want to do it. I might meet them on certain holes and just kind of look at them. If they give me thumbs up, they don't really like to talk to me either. They just give me a thumbs up, or they'll give me the hand wave and say, get the heck out of here. So I'll do the best I can. I'm going to think about that, tonight and tomorrow morning, what they want me to do with them. But if they want me to come around with them to calm them down, I'll do what I, I'll do the best I can to make my team succeed. So.
Hey, Craig, one year I was fortunate enough to coach a team that won this state, and we were at the Kearney Country Club just in a meet at Kearney Catholic, and one of my players went by, and I said, hey, how are you doing? And, you're not supposed to coach him. In fact, it's better if you don't talk to him sometimes. So somebody can say, hey, what did you tell him? To use a five iron or, But I asked him, I said, well, how are you doing? He said, well, I just got a 13 on that last hole. And then we found out he lied. He actually had a 14. You know what I mean? He had a scorecard. He just couldn't tell me the truth. He couldn't come out and give that extra stroke out there. Like, what are you going to do? You get a 13 or 14, it doesn't really matter. We're probably not going to use your score today. So, yeah. Hey, you don't want to know their scores.
No, I don't. And that's when they give me the wink or with the wave, I know what they're doing, And they may give me a finger, I am one or two. I'm one over, I'm two over, or I'm even, And I really don't want to know. I think that's one less thing for them to worry about is, God, what's coach going to think? I just got done double the last two holes. That's the last thing I want them to think about. I want them to forget about the hole they just had, and let's just go on to the next hole and to do the best they can for them. So I have all the confidence in the world. These kids are young, but they're a good bunch of kids. The kids think they have a good chance. I think they have a good chance. And we'll just see how it is tomorrow when we tee it up.
Hey, Craig, as we said, you and Ord had two of the best scores in districts. Do you view you guys as the top two teams, or who else will be in the mix?
Last week, on that Monday and Tuesdays when all those district scores came through, Monday was a little bit better than Tuesday. Tuesday was a very, very cool day. And for us and Ord to shoot what we did, I thought that was good. But I'm throwing all the scores out the window. I think temperature and the weather had a big thing to do with it. If I had to say, I think we'd be in the top three or top four mix in Class C. I want to make sure I'm peeking through the window after day one. If our team is not leading it within two or three strokes, four strokes, I think we have a good chance. You can't win it on the first day, but you really don't want to be too far back out so you can, so you don't want to lose it on the first day either. So I feel that we're probably one of the top three, top four teams there today. Yes, I do.
Yeah, Coach, there's about four teams, looks like to me, that can win it. I mean, any one of those four could shoot bad enough to finish seventh or eighth, but there's about four schools that can win it. Go ahead and list those four, and tell us anything that's interesting about the other teams.
I think the top four teams, I think Ord's in there. I think Lincoln Christian's in there. Bishop Newman is in there, and Thayer Central. Thayer Central came up from D. I believe they're back-to-back state champions, and they moved up to C this year. They got a good individual player, and I think we're in there too. I really do. I think we have played with all of those teams ahead of us, and we beat them all except for Ord, and we lost to Ord on their home course by five, and of course they beat us at district. So we have beaten everybody in our field. So I feel confident about that. And individualized, you know, that, you know, there's a team that I think that's favored would be Wahoo Newman. I think those two girls out there can shoot, and that they play where the boys tee off at. And I'll tell you what, they someone asked me, they think that they asked me if they could win the state individual. I said, darn right they can win state individual. I think they're that good enough to play with the boys, and they're good kids, and that's what makes it fun. So it's just going to be an interesting 2 days. It really is, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, Haley and Hannah Teal, I think it was Haley that won the conference meet over at Columbus earlier this year, so no doubt. And one last thing, Craig, we kind of mentioned it on the other sports. I think it's getting overlooked a little bit, and I know the Northwest guys wish that they were there, but senior high, you and Heartland Lutheran, I mean, that's three teams out of Grand Island at the state meet. Should we take anything out of that?
You know, I think it's the golf programs. I think the parents, the schools, what they do for us to succeed. There is some good golf in Grand Island. There's some, you know, we have young kids coming up. Senior high is a young kid. Heartland does a great job over there with the numbers that they have at their school. And Northwest is just right around the corner. You know, they had a little coaching change this year, and I talked to him, and he's looking really, really toward his future. So, golf has got, so there's some good golf in Grand Island, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Well, Craig, best of luck, man. We'll keep an eye on the scores, and it's always fun to have a lot of local talent shooting well. So best of luck to you guys.
You bet. Hey, Doug, I have a quick story. As Jim Langer would always say, hey, do you have any good stories?
Yes.
I have one good story.
I want to hear it.
I got about 10 seconds.
If it's about me, don't tell it. You just get the band there on
you.
Time.
Okay. I told my wife the other day, I said, yeah, ESPN Radio is going to do a little, you know, little thing on the boys' golf team. She goes, that's great. You get to talk to Mike and Mike in the morning? I said, well, no, these guys are better because they're on later in the morning so everybody gets to listen.
There you go, bud.
Craig, thanks so much, and you tell her hi.
I will. I certainly will. Thanks, you guys.
Take care.
It very much.
Craig Roop, Grand Island Central Catholic boys golf coach. And again, A is at Highlands. Did I say that right? In Lincoln. Get my facts here right. B will be at Riverside in Grand Island. C is at Holmes in Lincoln, and Metal Arc Hills will be hosting Class D. And I know Overton, Heartland Lutheran will be there. Again, it's hard to see off some of that bad weather days, but I think those two teams also will figure into the mix. And I don't know, that Newman team, that's going to be tough. I think maybe they are a slight, I mean, Orr just keeps it so consistent, and I don't want to be a homer here, but, I mean, I think those two have been so consistent throughout the year with Central Catholic right there, and let's just hope they can all go out and play their best.
Hebron Thayer Central.
They did win D-Law
last 2 years. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I when I get listed the four teams, I forgot about Thayer Central moving up to Class C. So, yeah, there are five teams that can actually win that thing.
That wasn't Baz that took the 14, was it?
Yeah, it was Baz.
It was Baz.
He was our five guy that year. And he was playing well. He finished fifth, like at a tournament at Loup City. You know, so I'm talking about fifth overall. Yeah. I mean, the whole tournament, you know. And, I mean, he just, his little face, and I said, just enjoy the day.
I saw
you know,
this
when he told me that, I said, hey, you got 13 more. We never get to play the Kearney Country Club. So, you know, just, you know, enjoy the day and just play golf. I mean, you know, it's really not that big of a deal in the realm of life. You know what I mean?
He's pretty good now.
Yeah, you know, isn't that funny? But, you know, it can happen. I mean, you had a couple out of bounds, and the next thing you know, that's four. You know what I mean? And you still haven't even teed off yet. You know,
don't count till it's over.
It helps me. Yeah, then you got somebody you're playing with. Hey, hold it. You didn't get a 13. Don't you forget that one putt.
Thanks for helping.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for helping. We'll be back, wrap things up after this.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Want a better insurance experience and be environmentally friendly? Battle Creek Mutual Insurance has the answer with our new My Account, a paperless online service. You can receive email notifications of billings or documents, pay online, and have access to all policy information in one location. Go to bcmutual.com to cut the clutter and be better connected to your insurance company or to find your local independent agent. Battle Creek Mutual Insurance. Better together.
Sports talk from the guys who know more useless information than anyone in town.
And your father smelt of elderberry.
KICS Hastings.
KXPN Kearney.
Doug and Danny Show putting the wrappings on this first show after Memorial Day. Doug Good and Jim Langan letting you know about the newest piece of equipment to help farmers from TNL Irrigation. It's their GPS Navigation Corner System. Users get track-on-track accuracy, pass after pass, fast startup time, and real-time diagnostics so they can watch it work. Safety is assured through their low voltage, and there is no buried wire. And you combine it with TNL's hydrostatic design, low maintenance, reliability, and unmatched continuous movement, and you'll know why TNL's GPS Navigation Corner System represents the optimum in pivot corner system management. Find out more today and get the entire TNL group working for you. Driving back and forth throughout the weekend, continue to see TNL's just ready to go. As soon as everybody's got it all planted and the weather cooperates, TNL will be rocking and rolling from their worldwide headquarters in Hastings, and you can find out more from your local dealer, like Derek Wagner of Wagner Irrigation in Holdridge. It's all there for you. And at TLIRR.com. TLIRR.com. TNL Irrigation. Well, Jimmy, I think we covered a lot of things here. And there's one more interesting note that I think we'll maybe talk about later on in the week because it's one of those stories that's not shattering the earth at the second. But it looks like the Nebraska School Activities Association is going to go in another direction. And I think it's very interesting. You don't know how to read this. I think there was one time, I don't know if it was Collier, or the men's basketball coach, they kind of put them on rollover contracts. I mean, they're on contract, but it's like 4 years down the road, and then every year they just add another. Well, if you got three more years on your contract and they don't add one, what's that really saying? I mean, you know, it's like, well, am I fired? Am I out the door? Did we just decide that maybe we're holding off this year because then next year you're going to give me a boost in pay? What's the story here? And just kind of out of nowhere, the NSAA voted not to extend the contract of their executive director, Rhonda Blanford Green. She runs the whole, this is the governing body of all the high school athletics across the state, speech, everything that has to do with extracurricular activities. Yet her contract goes through the end of next school year, the end of 2016, and it was a close vote by the board, 5-3. Brian Maher, who is in his final days here as the superintendent at Kearney, is the chairman of the board. He did not vote against Blanford Green, but, you know, you have to be guided and guarded in your comments that you make to the press about this because it all comes in executive session. And what does something like that? They had been so stable for so long. Now, there were some problems, and that was why they brought Blanford Green in, and there are some things that have definitely improved. So have you been hearing anything?
Well, I've been out of the loop for 3 years. I mean, out of this. But one thing that was done, it used to be called the Board of Control members, mm-hmm. and there were six of them. And what happened was, you know, they'd be in different areas. Well, the Omaha school districts only had one, the Lincoln School Districts only had one, even though that based, you know, that was kind of interesting. I mean, there's 500,000 people that live in Omaha and about 200,000. I'm just throwing these out.
Well, it's like the Senate. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're from Delaware or Texas, you're getting two senators.
Yeah, you've got it. But anyway, but what they ended up doing was they ended up giving them two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the Omaha area got two, and you know, the Lincoln area got two. So they ended up giving those regions two to make it a little more equal with the amount of students, you know, that you're talking about, you know, per student getting to vote. So you vote for things. And, you know, because, you know, a lot of times what happens, Doug, on these votes is, let's say Grand Island wants the state volleyball tournament. And you think, hey, that'd be right. That it's good for them to have it. And all of a sudden, Grand Island says, hey, well, but they bid on that, and like the motels will help out, and we'll give $20,000 to bid this. I'm just throwing this number mm-hmm. out. We'll give $20,000, and all of a sudden you're from Ord, and you're a board of director, and you're thinking, hey, everybody in my area told me to vote for Grand Island. You know, the guys from SEM, the guys from, you know, the little schools around mm-hmm. said, yeah, we want Grand Island to host it. Well, all of a sudden, he goes to the meeting and they go, hey, guess what? Lincoln just came up with a new bid and they offered $100,000. Okay, now, he's been told to do this, but hey, I want it for $100,000. I'll make a quick phone call and go, hold it. If it's that much difference, you got to do the right thing, and Lincoln gets to have it. But not every time money should be the difference. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes other places need to host, you know, like the golf. It's competitive because the people, the fans, and et cetera, you know, but everybody kind of would like to host the thing and say, hey, we hosted the Class D and et cetera. So there has been some changes made that since when I was there, with that board of directors being 8-6, it just started that way. And, you know, and there's been some other changes made, you know, that have had. So it's not the only thing. There's been quite a few things. But it seems like that's the most controversial things that happen is then also is when somebody is ruled ineligible to participate and forfeiting games. You know, that's never a good, you know, it's just never, hey, Ravana had to forfeit their 9 basketball games. And then all of a sudden she comes in. And they got the nine wins mm-hmm. back. It was just a different. So hey, Ravana had to think that was a good decision. You know, if they, you know, but she basically, you know, that was one of the first things she did after, you know, they had this thing and the other person, nope, we're staying here. This is what we got, and they came in. So there, and then you make decisions on domicile cases, you know, on where the kid can be eligible to participate. And sometimes, you know, that student is playing at Omaha West Side football, and they say, hey, you're not eligible to play, or they have to forfeit their first 4 games, and then the kid has to move back, you know, to a parent that's got the domicile, the home domicile, where that kid needs to play. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they go, well, hell, he can't play anywhere now. He already went to West Side. Now he can't play at Valley. I mean, I'm just throwing that out. I mean, just
no doubt.
But those are decisions you have to make that are very unpopular. And I would imagine she didn't make those on her own. I think she called an attorney and she called the other board of directors if they needed to. But, you know, everybody's got a different opinion on how those things are going to be handled. So, I mean, it's a very tough job. But you are right. When they voted 5-3, what they're telling her is you either change some things or, you know, you're going to be out of a job in a year, and go ahead and look maybe for another job someplace else. That happens to superintendents all the time. They have 3-year contracts, mm-hmm. and they're not going to renew it. And they go, hey, if you're not going to renew it, you know, et cetera, or, you know. Yeah, okay.
So everything's not perfect. She did make a couple of comments saying, I was taken by surprise by the vote. Nothing in my conversations with board members ever led me to believe I wasn't meeting the expectations of the board. She went on to say, I still have another year on my contract. I'm going to explore all my options, both professionally and personally. No matter the outcome, I am confident that we have made a difference for Nebraska students, special needs students, our membership, and for the integrity of our mission. It has always been a collective mission of the staff for the things we've accomplished in 3 years. So we'll see how this all plays out. It will definitely have an effect on the NSAA and then trickle down, I would imagine, on some decisions for local schools. So we'll find out more as this moves on. And when you go into the summertime, it's a dead time, and there's not, you know, not everybody's at their school, not at their computer, and getting back and forth going, what do you think? What do you think? What's going on? You know, so it'll be interesting to see how this transpires. We do want to thank our guests on today's show. Craig Roop, head golf coach, Grand Island Central Catholic, as all the teams tee it up tomorrow. Sean Ryan from College Baseball Insider to break down the field of 64 in the NCAA Baseball Tournament. Kind of put a ribbon on the UNK year with Athletic Director Paul Plinsky joining us tomorrow. We've got some other special guests as the week progresses. But, hey, it's Tuesday, Jimmy.
And I'll see you Thursday.
That'll be great. We're going to mix it all up this week as we continue on with the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a good one, folks.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.